بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الصلاة والسلام على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. ربي اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. A warm welcome to all of you to the 12th episode of season 3 of Tarif Rasul. Just a little notice that I might seem distracted in between, but you know, that's again because I'm with my family here this year as well, and inshallah next year I will be observing Ramadan in Germany, and in there I have my solitude and my place there. So season one is a proof of that. That is a way more, I sound way more focused than I did in season two and now in season three. So I really hope I can still grasp your attention and that you are with me until the episode ends. Today we are going to talk about something very interesting, and you know, as I'm going forward in this rhetorical question, it's the same observation I had in my first season when I was doing the sequence of revelation. I see how the groundworks are first done, how Islam proves itself to be a guideline for not only for our daily life, day-to-day life, how we interact with one another, what is right, what is wrong, what are morals and what are values, but also more it also touches your heart. It also really deals with diseases in your hearts, about spiritual depression, about spiritual diseases, about spiritual isolation, about spiritual loneliness, and how do we, and it gives this meaning to existence. It gives a context. It gives a perspective. It gives us a base on which everything then starts making sense about certain things, which human mind struggles to grapple, and has struggled to grapple through millennium. And I think what's really interesting here for me today is to see how we have been talking about you know, knowing who Allah is, knowing what epistemology is, understanding where knowledge comes from, what is the space of knowledge, what is the scope of our knowledge, where our intellect is. We talked about these things briefly in my previous episodes, and I can only encourage and emphasize that please do more research. And this is not a holistic episode. This is not a complete episode. These are just some trailers for the bigger picture, and I highly recommend that you, including myself, we all go back to our homes and do further research and see what other things are there in the Quran that talks about the topic we are handling in the episodes that I record every day. So today's episode it's going to be about the Ayah 91, Surah 2, Surah Al-Baqarah. We are still on that, and the ayah is a bit longer. Now here the question is here the Prophet Muhammad is instructed by Allah to ask a question to the people to the people of the book. Now here, as I mentioned earlier, there were interactions going on, right? Because imagine, like, you have an established religion of Judaism, and these people, the Jews, are there in Medina, and then Prophet Muhammad comes and is saying that, you know, this is Islam, and you should believe in me. I'm the last messenger. I'm the messenger that is mentioned in your books. So believe in the message that I come with. So you know, of course, when you are giving da'wah, when you're inviting people to this, this is not a one-time event, right? There are multiple situations that happens, and that's why there are multitudes of these ayat in the Quran throughout of these interactions. So here, this is one of the questions that Allah asks Prophet Muhammad to ask, and it goes, "A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Why then did you kill Allah's prophets before if you are truly believers?" Sadaqallahu al-Azim. So here, now the word used for killed is again taqtulun, which you talked about the other day, which is, you know, it means murdering, slaying, but it also includes attempt to murder, combating, fighting, and showing aggression towards them physically and verbally. So here, what's interesting is that Allah, since we consider Quran to be a timeless message, even if this is a question to the Jews of that time. However, if I look at the word taqtulun, I mean, even Muslims struggle with the idea of prophethood, right? Like, why were there prophets? Like, who were these prophets? Like, I think it's important. That's why, again, I will mention this, to understand, like, if we reject that Abraham existed, Moses, Joseph, Jesus, Adam, Noah, all these figures, if we reject their existence, based on what are we doing that? Why are we rejecting them? Are we rejecting them because it makes it easier for us to reject the message of Allah? Are we rejecting them because we are too arrogant to be told by a figure we have never seen, we have never heard of, and to take instructions from them on how to live our lives? So what really gets in between, right? Like, if and that's why Allah talks about it earlier in the pre-rhetorical questions, declaring Quran the truth, and then talking about cherry picking, and then talking about the prophets. So you see that the prophets come a bit after Allah establishes his Godhead, after Allah establishes the message that is sent in the Quran. So what's interesting in this is that Allah says that why then did you kill Allah's prophets before, if you're truly believers? Which means, if you are truly believers, if you are truly believers, you do not kill them, you do not combat them, you do not fight them. So the word he used here for mu'min the word used here for believer is mu'min, which has a triliteral root of alif, mim, noon. And alif, mim, noon has the following meanings. It means something that is state of security, tranquility in heart and mind, free of hatred, and manifestation of humility. Now, if I look at this root, it encompasses cause and effect. So, for me, if I look at it, right, if we as believers, if we have the state of mind of tranquility in our hearts, where we have this sense of security, I think these sentiments, they reside in the hearts. They don't reside in the minds. I feel that they are residing within us. And here Allah says that, you know, at the end, no, excuse me, not Allah. And here then, at the end, you have the manifestation of humility. So for me, the cause is the purification of the heart. Now, purification of the heart is a science of its own in Islam. It's called tazkiyah. And tazkiyah means purity. Allah says in the Quran, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ تَزَكَّى. Successful are those who purify themselves. But purify of what? Do I purify my clothes? And what does purification actually mean? Right? Purification of clothing means that I wear clothes that I know are not made by people who were exploited by a powerful regime, who were not giving pennies for me to sell it for 20 times the price that I pay those workers. That's purification of my clothes. But it also means purifying my clothes of dirt, purifying clothes of visible dirt, but also the ethical sourcing of this material. And then how do I purify my heart? Purify it from what? Is my heart hardened? How do I know my heart is hardened? We need to monitor the state of our heart, the spiritual state that we need to be aware of. Like, how open are we? I think one of the easiest tests is, how open are you to take criticism? How open are you to be told that what you believe is wrong? How open are you to be told that what you're doing is not okay? You need to change what you're doing. How open are we to that, to accepting advice? And also, when we are talked about Islam, Allah says at one point in the Quran that the hearts of the believers trembled when Allah's word is spoken. This is one of the messages in the Quran. So keeping all this in mind, once we have cleared our heart and mind, the direct effect of that is the humility. Like, we humble ourselves to Allah. Who do we humble ourselves at the end? Like, who is Allah, right? Then again, this again starts with the question, who is Allah? What is my relationship to Him? Allah says in the Quran, in Surah Al-Mulk, that Tabarak alladhi bi yadihi al-mulk, that the glory be to Allah, in whose hands the entire mulk, the entire dominion is. So we need to see, we need to understand Allah. We need to give a chance to Allah to know Him by His words, right? Like, when we get to know someone, let's say if I know this happened in from my personal experience, that someone is befriending someone, and I'm like, be careful of that person. Or when I was told, be careful of that person, I'm like, no, let me make my own experience. You know, let me make my mistakes, and I will learn from my mistakes. So we need to see this connection. Like, how do we understand Him? How do we understand Allah? And then come these things. But then again, you know, the entire concept of prophethood, the prophethood of messengers, who were these people? We need to also understand these. And in Islam, it is an article of faith that we need to believe in the prophets before. I personally think that Islam was not introduced by Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. It was completed by Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Like, I like to give this example, like, you know, let's say if I have the fifth edition of a series of books, let's say Harry Potter. I stick to the fifth book and I say that this is it. This is it. This is the last book that I'm supposed to come. And then I make it changes based on my understanding of how this book should end. But I completely reject what J.K. Rowling has to do in the seventh book. This is how I feel that the relationship between Judaism, Christianity, and Islam is. Islam comes and says that the religion is complete here. Yes, Islam says that we accept Jesus, we accept Joseph, we accept Moses, and all the books that they were sent with, but now this is the end of it. So this is what we should all converge to. So this is the one in many. So this is that one in it, the unity. And that's why, you know, it's for me to understand why do I need to take Quran as the final word, then it is also important for me to see how does Quran claim that it is not corrupted and the other books were corrupted. I would recommend you to read an article from Islamic Skeptics. Titled Corruption of Bible as Mentioned in the Quran, and I also recommend you to study the tafsir of Surah 4, Ayah 46. Here Allah also mentions that he's protecting himself from the corruption of the Quran. So we Muslims believe that the Quran is not corrupted. So if the Quran is not corrupted, then Allah is asking us to have a certain degree of treatment towards prophets. So how do I treat the prophets? How do I treat the messengers? And what place do I give them in my life? If we really read about these figures, you know, it's interesting that none of these prophets did anything for their personal gain. Noah said that. Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that. The prophets did not have anything out of it. They were just there to give the message. And what's interesting in all of this is that in this question that why then did you kill Allah's prophets before if you're truly believers? This completely connects to the previous message of arrogance also, where Allah talked about arrogance, that our arrogance is one of the main causes, or perhaps the only cause, that after knowing that this is the truth, then yet we still cherry pick. Like, what gives us the right to tell Allah that we should tell you how to run religion? Like, we should tell you how you should have written the Quran. Quran should have been a bit like this. This word is missing in the Quran. Why didn't Quran choose this word? Are we putting ourselves in the position to question Allah? But then again, we are able to question Allah because we have not really known Allah. We have not really put the effort to get to know Him. This is what Allah is talking about here. This, you know, this cause and effect, that you have taqtulun on one side and you have mu'minun on one side. So I find this, you know, I find this really beautiful that, you know, you have these two, you have these two opposing forces, exactly. You have taqtulun on one side, where you're combating and you're fighting the prophets, and on the other hand, there is mu'min who humbles himself, not after achieving the state of tranquility in his heart. So I hope that we can understand the wisdom behind the prophethood, behind the prophets, behind the messengers, and knowing that there is much more wisdom, there's much more liberation, there's much more self-affirmation if we follow the path of Islam than to oppose it. The question always arises, who do I listen to? Who is my teacher? Like, how do I know that this person is not here to manipulate me? I need to point out here again that yes, when we take the English language and the narratives we have from the English language is spoken mainly by, is mainly spoken by non-Muslims, and, you know, historically speaking. And then if you look at the Dark Ages of Europe and what was happening at that time, if you look at Andalusia, if you look at Baghdad, what was happening at that time, it's really shocking to see Muslim civilization was going through. I mean, think about it. You have a person, Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, who has come only for 23 years, and he does not only change your heart. He also changes the way you interact, the way you eat, the way you dress. And this ripple effects will go on until eternity. So we belittle Islam because of the current state of Muslims, because of what's happening in the Muslim world right now. It is sad. It is wrong. And I pointed out in my season 2 when I was doing that Allah says that if a group of people are unjust to the others, then they will be punished regardless of their faith. So if Muslims are unjust to non-Muslims, they will be taken into account. So it's not just because I'm Muslim, I'm free to treat anyone how the way I want. That's why to understand Islam, to understand Muslims, the first thing we need to do is to stop looking at people who are following that. I can do the same. I mean, imagine if I only saw destruction coming out from science. I always give this example. If I only saw the destructive side of science, if I only saw the destructive science or side of social media, I would hate social media. But there is good in social media also. There are people who are able to earn a livelihood through social media, restaurants and cafes and whatnot. Like if they want to thrive, if they want to build themselves up, social media helps them to establish themselves so that, you know, you can break down this monopoly of big brands and whatnot. So there is a blessing everywhere, but it only matters what do we focus on. So may Allah guide us to put our focus in the right places. May Allah guide our hearts to open, to get to know Him, to have the desire to get to know Allah and see what His what Allah is, what His message is, what did prophets bring? Who were these prophets? Who were these messengers? What was the aim of all of that? Was it manipulation or was it control? And if I think it's manipulation and control, how do I even understand the idea of authority, the idea of instructions and guidelines in religion? I think it's time that we wake up to all of this and we come out of this narratives that we have borrowed over from different cultures and civilizations. May Allah guide our heart to the truth and our soul to righteousness. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Assalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.